You are tuned in to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I am your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Dr. Rebecca Hardcastle. Dr. Hardcastle is the originator of the concept of exoconsciousness, which is the study, practice, and applications of the extraterrestrial origins, dimensions, and abilities of human consciousness. Investigations include determining the biological, historical, and multidimensional relationship between humans and extraterrestrials. Her research normalizes paranormal abilities once thought beyond human capacity as essential for a 21st century spacefaring species. Dr. Hardcastle is a certified hypnotherapist and transformational life coach. She has a doctorate in parapsychic sciences and a master of divinity in philosophical theology. Committed to deepening her spirituality, Dr. Hardcastle practices Tibetan Buddhist yoga, Reiki healing, and meditation. She has recently published a book titled Exoconsciousness, Your 21st Century Mind, which we'll be discussing during the show. So let's welcome her now so we can find out more about this, about her and about the book. Hi, Rebecca. How are you?
Hi, Lance. Good evening. Thank you. Thanks for the introduction and hello to all your audience.
Well, now we're all on the same page. We're off the pages already. We're outside the box. Well, I just wanted to say that I really enjoyed your book quite a bit.
Thank you.
It brought up so many wonderful things that are crucial to understanding what's happening in the higher realities. And also, it was quite an insight into your own life. I suppose we should begin with some of your early experiences, only to bring the audience up to speed a little bit and how you were led into this direction. You've had quite an interesting life.
I have, and I think as I meet experiencers and contactees, all of us have come into planet Earth and have just had these, you know, various tapestries of life that, you know, looking back we think, oh, you know, why did I jump in at that point with, you know, that sort of story around my life? And it's just fascinating, not only my life, but the life of other people who've had a lot of extraterrestrial experiences. And we're all kind of marching in tandem now, which is a wonderful feeling. And as you mentioned, I began my life early as a contactee. My earliest memories are of about 3 years old. I was part of a contactee community. I went to what I call school. I went to star school. And it's interesting, in my hypnotherapy work, just working with other contactees who had different kinds of school experiences, but just a phenomenal number of people that went to some kind of star school. You know, Whitley Strieber has that book called Star School or Night School or something like that, and he talked about when he was a little boy and he would meet out in the woods and he would be trained by the extraterrestrials. And I've had clients that have come in and told me about just similar experiences that happened to them.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
One of my guests, which you mentioned in your book, is Jim Sparks, and he wrote the book The Keepers. And although his experiences, he resisted for so many years being taken, and it wasn't until I think the last 20 or 30 years that he was having these experiences that he finally settled down and realized that he'd get a lot more out of them if he didn't resist. But he talks about, you know, these huge rooms with monitors and schooling things and how they would give him these devices to play with, and it's fascinating stuff.
And I talk a little bit in my book. I'm sure you noticed when I talked about just going back to Star School. You know, I went to Star School as a child and learned so much. And then as an adult, when I re-entered Star School again, and I would lie in bed at night in my bed, and literally these three-dimensional symbols would be punched down through my ceiling. And
wow.
I'd be, you know, learning a whole new symbolic language and a whole new form of communication through that. That was a phenomenal, just awe-inspiring period of my life. I thought, oh, my goodness, what's going on? You know, I'd get in bed at night and, you know, there'd be orbs would appear in my bedroom and I'd be awakened and there it would start again. And it's funny, I thought, I guess I never really considered fighting it, because that could have been because I was such an early contactee as a child, that there was a part of me that was at peace with, well, this was just another, you know, way of communicating and contact, and it was okay.
Yeah.
And it's funny you mentioned Jim Sparks, because I had a lot of contact for many, many, many years, especially as a child, and then actually later as an adult with reptilians.
Let's talk about that.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of misunderstandings, I think.
I feel that also.
And there's a lot of fear surrounding the reptilian
yes.
race.
Yes.
And I think that maybe you can help us help shed some light on that.
Well, when I was a child, I grew up in West Virginia, and that's really, that's a geography that's full of holes. I mean, there's, you know, veins of coal, and there's an emptiness underneath West Virginia. And I remember as a little girl, I grew up in this, in a small town in West Virginia named Clarksburg, and I have just vivid, distinct memories of being a little girl and going down through these little narrow streets of the town that I grew up in, and going down, you know, remember alleys? People used to have alleys, and I would, you know, go down these alleys, and they were literally, you know, coal alleys. You know, they had old pieces of coal and gravel in them, and you know, they were kind of dirty because West Virginia is a coal mining state.
Uh-huh.
And I can just remember going down, like we used to call them hollows, so you've got to kind of go down in these hollows, uh-huh. down these alleys and hollows, and literally being pulled under the ground as a child.
Wow.
And then, you know, being in an altered state and in another dimension underneath the earth, and then also having a vivid memory of coming back up out of the earth and knowing that I was okay. That, you know, I was all in one piece, and, you know, I guess I never thought I was crazy. It was just something that happened to me, and I just fell underground all the time.
Wow. What was underground there? Was it a living facility? Was it habitable?
I think it's dimensional. I think it's I feel like what I went into as a child was an interdimensional realm. And, you know, the Celtic people talk about it, and the mystics talk about it, and, you know, there's obviously other dimensions, other paranormal dimensions on our earth that we can't experience. And and for many years, I was doing shaman work where I was literally traveling underneath the ground, and I didn't even know I was doing shaman work, but I was kind of a natural at it, I guess, just because of my childhood. And then as an adult, I began to be visited by these huge reptilian creatures, but you know, quite honestly, I think I wasn't ever afraid of them because I knew them as a child. So it's almost like I was socialized already, so I never had a fear.
Were they communicating with you telepathically?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
I
sense them when they come back to me. Actually, I haven't been working with them recently, but when they're around, I can absolutely sense them.
What did they want to communicate to you?
I feel very strongly that they are on a separate, they are a dimension or an interdimension of our Earth.
Yeah.
And that they dwell in that dimension, but that they can all also dwell in our own dimension also. And my perception of it and experience of it is that they are really keepers of the earth.
Ah.
They are keepers of that dimension of earth. And they're a planetary preservation type of species. But I was never harmed. I was actually never afraid. I really felt at peace, and for many, many years, I communicated with them. I feel that they have their own language, that they have their own vibration. They have a very, very distinct vibration.
Like, what was it? Can you describe it?
It can be loud.
Yeah.
It can be loud. It can be rather jarring because they're quite huge.
Yeah, like 14 feet or so, or?
Well, not 14 feet, I would say, but, you know, good 8 to 10 feet.
Wow.
Yeah, very, very towering, very massive.
Yeah, I've heard that they have quite yellow eyes.
Yes, the yellow eyes, and I mean, the skin is just, it's quite something. Their skin is quite something. Yeah.
Now, those weren't the only ones that you were contacting, too. You had had contact with what we would call the Greys and Praying Mantis.
Yes, I love the Praying Mantis.
Which are supposed to be quite brilliant. I mean,
yes.
I've heard
yes.
this from
and quite
other
shy.
People. Yes, and they're like genius and just
yes.
very loving.
Yes, they are just, for a long time, I was communicating with them, and they would literally come in my bedroom, and I had a big, tall chest of drawers in my bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
So there would be my bed, and then at the foot of my bed, and somewhat, across from my bed, and down from my bed would be this chest of drawers. And it's interesting with this praying mantis, they rarely would completely approach me. They would kind of stay off and oftentimes kind of manifest right in front of that chest of drawers.
Mm.
And just, I knew that they were there because their arms and just continually move.
There's this,
you know, kind of like a vice-like, you know, arm appendage that they have, and they just have this just continual gentle movement that I always recognized, and I knew it was them, and they were just quite shy, as you said, quite brilliant, and and I felt that they also hold an energy of protection with a lot of contactees. Kind of making a checkup, you know, are you okay? How are you doing? You know, our presence is here, just as a reminder. So that, and then I had a long experience actually with Greys, and that was not frightening to me either. I remember I was taking a class in hypnotherapy, and there was an issue in the class one day, and so the teacher was very psychic, and she did a lot of clearing and that sort of thing, and so she had everybody leave the class one day because she said, this class, there are so many negative attachments in this class, we've got to clear it out. And so she had everybody get up and leave, and then one by one, she invited people in, and then she cleared them. Well, it came my turn to be cleared, and the teacher is, and the assistant is a really good friend of mine, and the teacher is standing there, so I'm standing between the assistant and the teacher, and the teacher goes, oh my golly, she is like surrounded by all these Greys. And then my friend goes, yes, and you're not going to get rid of them, so just let her go sit down. She's fine.
Oh,
it was like,
thrilling.
Oh, my goodness, other people can see it. And that was such an empowering time in my life. And I just had to share with your guests that, you know, I went to Southwest Institute for Healing Arts, and I took my hypnotherapy certification, and I took my coaching certification. And I went to school there probably for 3 years. And it was so empowering to me, Lance, because I got the opportunity to literally stand up in public among my peers and tell people what I did and who I was.
Wow.
And, you know, I talked about my exoconsciousness work. I talked about the kind of how I was going to carry out that work, you know, what my missions were, what these different races were that I worked with. And there was just this unfolding, a gradual unfolding of acceptance that, you know, I was okay, and what I was doing was okay, and it was so empowering for me just to get up and have to speak publicly that this is who I am and this is what I do.
Yeah, that's wonderful, Rebecca, because we're really at a time when we need to be able to be authentic and true to ourselves. And I think from what I've understood and spoken to people, the ET connection goes back to the beginning of time itself and beyond. And, you know, we have star family that we might not have met yet, at least consciously. So we're needing to prepare ourselves. And, of course, the exopolitics movement is kind of the next step to getting people thinking in that direction. How does exoconsciousness differ from what exopolitics is doing? And what is the nature of exoconsciousness?
One of the things that I like to talk about in my work is creating an extraterrestrial reality. It's interesting you bring up exopolitics because I was just with Stephen Bassett today. He spoke at the Phoenix MUFON. I was just with Steve, and that was wonderful to hear his talk. And one of the important things that I talk about is that we need to get beyond all the trauma and fear that we have around contact. And so I'm teaching at International Metaphysical University, and one of the classes that I teach is exoconsciousness. And within that, one of the sessions that we talk about is how do we get beyond trauma? Because literally, when we're afraid and traumatized, our brain scars.
Mm-hmm.
And we can actually take pictures of our scarred brain.
Now, is that a result from contact?
No, that's just a result of trauma. That there are people who are looking into what is trauma, they're finding out that literally when we're traumatized, say we're beaten or abused or we're hit by a car or we're a young child and we go into surgery, but there's a frightening, traumatic something that happens to us, that's just part of life on Earth. I mean, traumatic things happen to people. It's not that you're necessarily singled out. It's just it's an Earth reality. What these researchers that I'm working with are finding out that when we are traumatized, our brain literally makes a scar. So our brain is scarred, and they can literally look at all of the scars in our brain and see the blueprint of the scarring in our brain. And tell us what diseases we're going to be manifesting in our life.
That's interesting. One question that I have about this, and I think it's very important to because it's related to what you're saying about trauma. Several of my guests have indicated that there are certain black operations within the government that have intentionally been trying to spread disinformation and who create negative abductions in order to frighten us from any kind of extraterrestrial contact, that they're working with some of these renegade groups and intentionally creating some negative experiences. Is that something that you have heard or...
That's part of my exoconsciousness class. You know, we do go into ME labs and that sort of thing where there's a school of thought that people who are genuine contactees are then later on picked up by the government and recontacted to scare them and frighten them.
Right.
Whether it's, you know, the black helicopters or, you know, being, you know, poked and prodded or whatever,
that
there is a phenomenon. And, I've got quite a few friends that have, you know, experienced that. I personally have not experienced that, but I have had friends that have, you know, are dealing with that and are going out and working with it, and I teach it in my course.
Good.
So, yeah, I think it's a very important thing because that's just a re-traumatizing of people.
Right.
And that, you know, the certainly one of the saints of exoconsciousness, as far as I'm concerned, was John Mack at Harvard. And one of the things that he found was working with abductees and contactees was that, you know, once you fence that fear, once you got beyond the fear, then this whole new spiritual dimension of the contactee's life opened up. And that's really what I'm working in today in exoconsciousness, is not just to fence the fear, but literally to learn about how our brain processes trauma Mm-hmm. And then how we can then, through technology, neurology, spirituality, learn how to literally dissolve those trauma scars and or route around them so that our neural pathways open back up and we're not so frightened. And what they're finding out now, Lance, is that the human body can literally break up trauma scars. It's already wired to get rid of these trauma scars if we let the body do what it needs to do. And interestingly enough, one of the things the body needs to do, and this was this research is by David Borselli here in Phoenix, and one of the things that he found out was that the body just simply needed to shake. And he works with veterans coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan, and he literally puts them through a protocol of shaking, and it dissolves PTSD.
We're interesting. Wow.
So my work is, it's funny that you brought up the whole exopolitics, is because one of the things we do in exoconsciousness is look at what is our reality, what is the reality of that we're living in, and if there is trauma, then how do we dissolve that trauma? And one of the things that exopolitics is so good at is literally lifting that veil of secrecy and saying, this is the reality that you're living in today. Steve Bassett talks about the emperor's new clothes, you know.
But right.
There's always some little millennial kid back in the audience going, hey, you've got no clothes on, that guy's naked. and that requires us literally to speak our truth.
Yes, yes.
And then the second thing that we talk about in exoconsciousness is to move beyond just speaking the truth and to begin to see how in our lives that we're actually on in our individual lives ourselves colluding with the lies and the secrecy. And that's where we do, we really look at our shadow and say, in what parts of my life am I perpetuating secrecy?
Yes, and denial.
Actually, there are parts of my life where, I talk about in the book where my former husband was an alcoholic, where I really had to look at myself, in a very honest, forthright way and say, I was to blame for a lot of tragedy and a lot of pain and heartbreak that I put my family through. I wasn't the person drinking, but I was just as ill, and I had to stop colluding with that illness.
Right.
And
right.
had to, apologize to them and say, this is over, and we're not going to have these secrets in our family anymore, and we're not going to have the denial, and we're not going to do that anymore. And then when you do that, that's when you actively do the work of releasing your trauma scar. And then when your trauma scars are done, you're finished colluding, you're living an honest, authentic life to the greatest extent that you can, that's when you start to make a whole new belief system, a whole, I call it extraterrestrial reality.
Do you feel that this is a time when we're massively releasing our shadow side?
Yes.
And that if this is some kind of crossroads of evolution, of whether it be Earth or all of us or the solar system, all moving through, the next leap in our evolution, which might allow us to rejoin the star families.
I think that we are doing massive healings on so many ways that literally, Lance, just in the last two or three days, I have just been stunned by some of the major earth healing that's going on among me and some other people that I work with, as well as I was thinking this morning, what an amazing healing I believe is going on as we look back at, for example, the work of Zachariah Sitchin.
Yes.
And he talked about, aliens coming to the earth and the Anunnaki coming and developing a slave race.
Yes.
And you look at all, the racism and the sexism and the inequality and the violence that slavery perpetuates in a society and in a culture, and it permeates our planet, literally.
It does. Yes.
And I do believe that one of the things that is happening today is that people who are contactees are waking up to the fact that that DNA that was transferred to us is done and finished and over with, and it doesn't work anymore. And that trauma scar and that DNA can be released. I mean, there's massive potential today.
And
what if we recognized, as we release that DNA, as we release that programming, what if we realized that, you know, we are a seeded race, but we're also seeded by many races?
Well, that's what I personally tend to believe. But then that's just my own gut feeling about the situation. And, you know, it doesn't seem like a startling idea to me for some reason. But it does seem that the Earth has been under a kind of quarantine.
And solitary confinement, I like to call it. Yeah, there's a traumatic solitary confinement that has gone on. You know, if you look at, you know, what has been going on with humans, you know, we have been in galactic solitary confinement. And, you know, quite frankly, you look at people that are prisoners of war, and they will all tell you to a person that that is the worst type of confinement.
Yeah.
Is solitary confinement.
Oh, yes. Yes, and we've been isolated here on our little blue-green ball since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's an intentional process which is about to come to an end.
Well, it's interesting. I'm doing a lot of work now with a dear friend and colleague of mine, Terry Mansfield, and together we're doing work in something that we actually call Peace Exoconsciousness, where it's the science of the 21st century mind, which really is the heart. And, you know, just getting the whole body involved in our advanced consciousness. That consciousness just isn't about your brain. Your consciousness is about your entire body and your cellular memory and all that makes you up who you are in physicality, as well as mentality and spirituality and emotionality. So one of the things that Terry and I are working with at this time are what we refer to as extraterrestrial intelligences, ETIs. And these extraterrestrial intelligence that we are working with right now have the what we consider to be the greatest alignment with the whole God energy in the universe. And I think that whether you call, you know, God a source or an energy or a life force, I like to call it a life force because I'm always in favor of that, that this life force is what's helping us to dispel and dissolve and disappear those old trauma and DNA that have held us back as a civilization on the planet.
And then what about the... you know, there are so many theories about what they refer to as junk DNA, which a lot of people feel is just DNA that has perhaps been disconnected and is in the process of being rewired.
Yes, absolutely. I'm a true believer in that. The whole jumping transference theory and the epigenetics. I mean, you know, I think Time magazine had a cover story on it a week or two ago. On epigenetics and how, you know, the whole blending of, you know, we used to live by the dogma of DNA and how that dogma is getting rewritten today. And it's happening very, very, very quickly.
It almost feels that we're going through a transformation that is larger than the mental switch from believing that the world was flat to realizing that it was not flat, but that we were actually on a planet that was round. It seems that this is, we're on the verge of, physics and religion and everything is going to be tossed topsy-turvy, you know, inside, backwards, and sideways.
Don't you feel that's already happening?
Oh, absolutely.
In many ways. Yeah, I do
absolutely.
Too.
Absolutely. I mean, especially...
We're in the midst of it.
Yes. And, you know, I used to think about Einstein with his idea that nothing can travel faster than light, but now quantum physics has proven that there, you know, there are quarks that communicate instantly. So,
mm-hmm.
And people who have near-death experiences, they are instantly transported to the far side of the galaxy. So, you
right.
know, it seems like we've been in the Dark Ages.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been somewhat intentional. And then, of course, there's the additional element that much of the technology has been secreted away by the powers that be, and we haven't had access to it. So this is something that all needs to come out in the open and be shared openly for everybody to be able to use.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up, because I do some work on what I call the eighth intelligence. I work off of Gardner's multiple intelligences. I don't know if you're familiar with that. He was a professor at Harvard, and he was looking at the regular IQ test and saying, you know, all this is really measuring is, you know, kind of mathematical, logical intellect, and that there are so many other intellects. And he names eight different intellects, like kinesthetic intelligence that an athlete would have, or spatial intelligence that allows a pilot to maneuver across the planet, musical intelligence, interpersonal intelligence, and intrapersonal intelligence. I mean, he names these eight different types of intelligences that people have, and to one degree or another, you know, we all have an expression of these intelligences. And so I came up with a theory that, you know, the one intelligence that we all have, but that we of a culture have not yet admitted to, is psychic intelligence.
I was just thinking that.
And when we admit that we as humans have psychic intelligence, someone asked me the other day, they said, you know, well, how do you know that, you know, you're safe with extraterrestrials, and how do you know that you're safe if you're, you know, astral traveling to these other dimensions and using these other, you know, exoconscious abilities? How do you know you're safe? And I said, well, I've got a psychic intuition, and
right.
I've learned how to navigate these places, and I know how to go home if I need to. You know,
right,
it's like,
right.
you know, I've got the red shoes I click together, and it's all okay. And you know, when every human wakes up to the fact that we possess this psychic intelligence, then, you know, there is no more secret government than the secret government doesn't exist, because there are no secrets when there's psychic intelligence.
Right. And don't you feel that this is the direction we're headed?
Oh, absolutely. And you know what? People, I feel this so strongly. People that work for governmental intelligence agencies or the national security state, they all know that this is going on.
Mm.
They all know that the whole psychic abilities of humans are increasing exponentially across the planet and within nation states.
Uh-huh.
And within the entire planet Earth, and that, you know, these secrets aren't long for the ruling. They just aren't.
Yeah, they've been trying to slow it down with dozens and dozens of different types of matrices that will, you know, keep us from advancing. But we're breaking through just about everything that they are throwing at us.
Right, and it's funny, I was just watching before I knew that you were going to call me. I clicked briefly on CNN, and they had a whole talk about, just briefly listened to it, about the cyber war games that were being played, and,
yeah.
you know, the whole grid collapsing. You know, I sat there and listened to it a couple minutes, and I thought, oh, my goodness, this is so trauma and fear-producing.
Yes.
You know, I'm not going to listen to this. It's just pulling trauma and fear into our culture.
Yep. And the military is committed to trauma and fear. You know,
well, and I think, unfortunately, without even thinking about, you know, why they're there. I mean, you know, we look back at the wars that are fought, and, you know, the Civil War that so marred and marked America, and literally, you know, men just lined up and shot each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Across
Insane.
Fields. They just stood in a field and killed each other.
Insane.
It was, and part of that is that almost that slavery soldier mentality.
Yes. yes.
And we don't have to be slaves anymore because we're not slaves. We're incredible, intelligent, actually extraterrestrial beings. We are ETIs ourselves.
Yes, I agree with you on that one. I agree with you totally. One of my guests was on a couple of weeks ago, and she brought up the idea that there's a vortex or a stargate that had opened up in the Gulf of Aden.
Mm-hmm.
And that she said, well, she was positing that it would be interesting if the ETs simply neutralized all the weapons and nobody could fire anything or use any of the weaponry. It would be the great equalizer.
Mm-hmm.
So at some point we have to break through that old paradigm that we've mm-hmm. been, you know, we've been led astray, and you know, there's got to be some kind of turning point,
mm-hmm.
whether it's the 100th monkey effect or, mm-hmm. you know, that we suddenly are telepathic and we just understand what's going on. And
that's what I think is going to happen. And that's literally, Terry Mansfield, who you may, you know, consider having on your show at some point. I mean, she's a world-renowned international peace diplomat. You know, she is a peace ambassador. And, you know, she not only talks about peace in terms of international diplomacy, but she also talks about it primarily in terms of just working with your own heart and your own mind. It starts every day in how you live your life. You know, are you going to get angry? Are you going to get violent? Or are you going to find a path of peace through, you know, whatever it is that you're dealing with? It's quite powerful. And when you combine that with extraterrestrial intelligence, you go back to what Colonel Corso talked about in the Roswell book. When he talked about when he met the extraterrestrial, and the message was, the galactic mandate was, either we go in peace as an intergalactic species, or quite simply, we don't go.
Right, right.
So, you know, either we get this and enact it and live it, or we don't go. Now, simultaneously, are there going to be some parts of our society that want to have the Star War? Well, yeah, sure. You know, I'm sure that's, you know, there are people that are going to do that. But we don't have to be a part of that. We can separate from that.
That's right. And there may even be a literal separation between densities or dimensions at some point.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
If you're vibrating at a higher frequency, then you're no longer going to be part of a frequency that is, you know, killing one another.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole idea of control and the illusion of controlling other people as slaves is such a low density, polarized idea that it's just, it's almost reprehensible. It's foolish. It's like little children, you know, throwing rocks at each other. And these people,
and you know, actually,
are,
little children don't really act like that. I think they're socialized to act like that.
Yeah.
You know, most children are very pure. It's almost like we ETI humans are getting back to our original state of purity.
Yes, that's a wonderful point, because look at all the indigos and crystals and millenniums and who knows? I mean, what the latest version is, but they're coming through so clean and pure from the other side. They're just like avatars.
Mhm. And I think it's like peace. It's all of that starts within us. When we no longer look at ourselves as a slave, you know, a slave to the stock market or a slave to the monetary system or a slave to a medical complex or a slave to the government. When we no longer see ourselves as a slave, then we ourselves in our own bodies drop that vibration, as you said, and then we gain the higher vibration, and we never treat anyone else like a slave again.
Exactly. And we harm none.
Right. Absolutely.
Know, that's really important to hold that creed, to harm none.
And this is what advanced consciousness is. Advanced consciousness is not about, you know, remote viewing to go in and blow up an installation in another government. I mean, advanced consciousness is really about you know, releasing and letting go some of these lower vibrations that are not going to define us anymore.
That's right. And empowering those those fellow humans, other forms of ourselves, be they in other skin colors or other manifestations on the planet, empowering those people to bring them up, not to destroy them.
Yes, absolutely. And seeing ourselves as, you know, one world government. It's interesting, I heard Steve Bassett talk today, and he was talking about one world government. He goes, you know, like, what's the one world government? You know, where is it? Who is it? What is it? And how it kind of changes every day. You know, there's a
yeah.
new, you know, faction that's heading it up every day. And, you know,
yeah.
like he said, you know, we are the one world government. You know, when we as extraterrestrial intelligences with an exoconsciousness can step forward and say, this is the kind of planet that we want to live in.
Yes.
Then we become the one world government.
That's right. That's right. But we all have to be on the same page. And, you know, so much of what's going on incites polarity and duality consciousness,
mm-hmm.
like, you know, the games. I don't watch much television these days.
Mm-hmm.
But
I can't imagine why.
Well, the Pleiadians said not to.
Yeah.
They have these little vignettes of guys, you know, screaming and yelling and beating each other up, and you have to pay $44.95 to watch it. And
mm-hmm.
I thought,
right.
my goodness, think of all the people who sit at home in groups and drink beer and yell and scream all night about
yeah.
men beating each other up.
Yeah.
We've got to make some changes here.
That is literally colluding with the violence that was probably traumatizing you as a child. You're just
yes.
reenacting it again and again and again.
Yes, to try
through,
to work through
any
it.
Type of violence. You're
yes.
just literally colluding with that and perpetuating it.
That's right. That's
it's,
right.
It's self-perpetuating. It's interesting that you kind of bring up the whole idea of harmony and unity, because one of the things that, as I've dealt with these extraterrestrial intelligences, I've been led to is a feeling and a belief that as we evolve as an exoconsciousness, as an extraterrestrial species, and coming to see ourselves as an extraterrestrial species, one of the things that is going to happen literally is in our physical brain and heart and body, we are going to begin to unify. So
mm-hmm.
we are going to begin to develop a unified brain.
Hmm.
So we're
that
not
going to
have a bicameral heart
right,
or
right.
a bicameral mind.
Oh,
we're going to have,
wonderful.
Yeah, wouldn't that be,
yeah.
you know, literally I feel it happening in my body.
Huh.
I do a lot of advanced brain work,
uh-huh.
and you know, if you're into meditation or whatever, I mean, you can literally begin to feel when those trauma scars leave your body,
mm-hmm.
in your brain,
mm-hmm.
you literally then feel your brain balance and harmonize and unify.
Interesting.
And I don't know what that's going to mean or exactly how that's going to feel, but I know for within my body and within my consciousness that that's happening.
Well, I know that I do a lot of work on balance and,
mm-hmm.
you know, between the left and the right brain.
Mm-hmm.
And I pretty much can tell when I'm, you know, tilting in one direction or the
right.
other. So I've kind of reached a level of balance that I'm comfortable with. Now, the rest of it is releasing fear, judgment, and, you know, anything that resembles a lack of self-love.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just an ongoing process.
It's beautiful. It's really wonderful.
But, I mean, I wanted to say is that I don't think in duality anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I can see it clearly
it
now. And when I see news stories, is it this way or that way? Did he win or lose? And I'm starting to just see that there's everything is languaged in such a way to force us down an either or path.
Yes.
And I think that's all old paradigm. And soon we'll be thinking in symbols
mm-hmm.
or colors and light.
And
we won't need words because
absolutely.
Words are cumbersome.
Mm-hmm. Or images.
And you said
and, yeah.
you saw the symbols coming out of the, you know, they were sharing. I wish you had a book of symbols. It'd be fun to look at them and, you
right.
might consider doing that someday. I don't know.
Oh, that's a good idea. Oh, that's
it really
a very good idea.
It really would be fun. It would be a bestseller.
Yeah.
Can
that's
you,
interesting.
I mean, can you imagine how many people would just love to see, you know.
Probably get it stacked away someplace in a notebook.
That would be wonderful.
That's a great idea.
Yeah, and they could be dimensionalized so that there's dimension mm-hmm. to them, and it'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, movement and that sort of
yeah.
thing.
And even
oh,
have
wow.
Some for kids where they.
Like a new alphabet.
They can spin them around and play
yeah.
with them.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's very cool. I have to look into that.
Yeah,
I've got like 12 grandchildren, so I think I'd find one.
Oh, that. Wouldn't that be fun?
I know.
You must be quite a great great grandmother. To
have, oh yeah, I've got yeah. Think. We've got a lot of kids, so.
Oh my.
I'm a real mom.
Good for you. Good
it's
for
a good
you.
Thing. You know, it keeps you grounded. It really does. And you know, once our brains aren't needed to make these dualities and kind of synthesis and antithesis and that sort of thing, then, you know, our brains will begin to unify. And as we do, you know, just pattern ourselves as you're modeling for your radio audience that you no longer think in dualities, I mean, that's a powerful modeling. That's going to change how your neural circuits run.
Oh, yeah. And on top of that, I follow my intuition and my heart. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and I listen to that inner voice that says, you know, that guides me, which is not really so much a voice, but a feeling. And because it's the same feeling that 99 times out of 100, when you don't follow it and you do open the door, there is a boogeyman behind there.
Right, right.
So you have
Absolutely.
To learn how to follow your psychic promptings.
Mm-hmm. And, that's really good.
Yeah.
Well,
it's
I
like building
think, you
muscles.
Know, it's- As we move into the whole acceptance of quantum physics and the holographic consciousness, like, you know, I teach at International Metaphysical University, and a lot of the lessons are just about, you know, quantum consciousness and holographic consciousness. And, you know, there's a real thought school now that if you want to be able to communicate in this holographic consciousness, the way we're going to communicate is with our heart. With our heart language.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be about, you know, dualistic kind of brain thinking. It's
right.
going to be about holistic heart and
right.
that whole unification of, you know, a unified brain and a unified heart. It's quite powerful. I can't even imagine what the human species is going to look like. But it's going to be different. That I know.
Well, let's hope so, because it's barbaric right now.
You know, it is, and yet it's also beautiful.
Yes, there's a dichotomy there, and
I think it's I do a lot of coaching and hypnotherapy with people, and it's just so gratifying when you see lives, you know, people that just get up and literally do their emotional work and walk away from, you know, trauma and despair and depression and illness, and all of a sudden they're just in a totally different vibration, and they're not there anymore. And it's almost like they forget who they used to be because they are so saturated in this new being of who they are. It's so refreshing.
Wow, and they're excited to be alive, I'll bet.
Yeah, and it's kind of like it's not a duality as much as it's going from, you know, kind of like the snake shedding its skin is more of what it is. You know, that old skin drops off and it's literally not there anymore.
Mm.
It's interesting. I was at breakfast the other day with a friend of mine, and we were there with a whole group of people, and she made a comment. She goes, well, you know, when I used to smoke, and I looked at her and I said, oh, my golly, I don't even think of you as a smoker anymore. That's not even an image that I have. And I sit there, I said, you know, you don't even have to bring that up anymore.
Wow.
That's gone. You shed that skin. And,
yeah.
and to give us permission to say that, you know, we don't even have to talk about ourselves as not being star people, because we are.
Yes, yes, yes. I find it so important for all of us to acknowledge our own experiences and not just say, well, that must have been my imagination. and to find places and people that we can talk to and share our experiences with that don't make fun of us.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, that's going to be part of our coming out as you say, exoconsciousness.
Mm-hmm. It was very interesting. At the same breakfast meeting, everyone had gone around the table and they were kind of explaining who they were and what they'd been through. And I was the last one. And so I said, you know, it's just very interesting how all of us have shared our story. But the way we shared our story was talking about how when we were young, we didn't fit in.
Yeah.
That was the general message that everyone there brought to that discussion. But when I was young, I didn't fit in.
Absolutely. Here
too. And I said to them, isn't it interesting? Because now we are the in.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. And we don't have to talk about the old days when, quote, we didn't fit in.
Right.
We can now talk about the fact that we are the in.
We are the in, yes.
We are the mainstream.
Everybody else now has the same kind of thinking and all things alike and is stuck in old thought processes like Republicans, Democrats, Tea Party, bags, whatever.
Right.
They're all out.
Mm-hmm.
But they're still out there trying to figure it out.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I mean, how would all of our lives change if we just focused on one another as being the mainstream?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
I mean, you'd be looking at just a powerful confluence, and that is consciousness.
Yes. Well, that's something that seems to be ramping up a little bit as we, I guess if you could say we're in a 2012 window, because so many things are coming to fruition at that time. But it does seem that the general frequency is going up.
Mm-hmm.
And that we're, you know, that we are being rewired, or we are rewiring ourselves. Mm-hmm. But I think we have help from our extraterrestrial friends.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Because we couldn't do this by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're being nurtured and kind of helped along, I feel, by all of those who've had a hand in our creation and our, you know, the millenniums of watching us go through so much different experiences.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're about to emerge as butterflies.
I think so, too. It's interesting you say that, because I totally agree. That was a powerful way that you put that. I mean, I am so in agreement that all the help we need is there. And
mm-hmm.
it's not about needing to slow down or needing to stop. It's about feeling like I can relax and trust this process that's unfolding inside of me and out in the world in which I live.
Yes.
And that I'm safe and protected and cared for, and I have everything that I need in order to navigate and open up through these windows that are opening up. And I mean, we're like Peter Pan, and we're like flying out the window.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I know just this week, I don't know if I'm sure you felt the same thing, but this week just powerfully, I have just felt just literally rushes of increased frequencies to the point where it was a little uncomfortable and till I kind of just got myself grounded. And I love to cook, so whenever
Me
I start getting ungrounded, I go, I always cook dinner for the kids and make sure everything, nice dinner on the table. And I was just like, you know, I've got to calm down here. I'm okay. I'm on the earth. I belong here on the earth.
Right.
And I can manage through this, and I don't have to slow it down. I just have to relax and accept all these changes that are happening.
Yes, absolutely.
And we need
to.
It's kind of like we need to sort of succor and nurture one another.
yeah. Starting with ourselves. I mean, if you're like me, living alone with your little dog, and the birds on the porch. Then, you know, for me, it requires not identifying with the chaos and the confusion that others are experiencing, because they're having their experiences for whatever reason they need to.
Mm-hmm.
And I need to be able to allow everybody to have the experience that they need to have to evolve. And so I'm seeing it as, you know, maybe somebody needed to have a certain kind of experience that I don't particularly need to have myself. So, you know, I'm on a different path, and it's okay. And there doesn't have to be any judgment or fear about, you know, what's going on in the world. We're in it or of it, but not in it.
That's really beautifully put. I'm in total agreement with what you're saying. And one of the things I'm becoming more and more keenly aware of through exoconsciousness,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, I had never thought, you know, when I wrote the book, you know, a few years ago, I am so aware now that it's not necessary for me to tell anybody what to do or to guide anybody or to
right.
do this or to do that. I'm just really to, as you say, you know, sit on my porch, listen to the birds, pet my dog, you know, do my work, and
yeah.
literally the extraterrestrials are taking care of all the rest.
Yes, yes. Thank you.
And that
goodness.
Is, and yeah. whether it's, you know, taking care of the anti-gravity weapons or
right.
the HARP weaponry or, you know, the super soldiers or, you know, whatever that,
right.
you know, we live in a very protected planet. And,
yeah.
you know, there may be violence here, but there is also an incredible protection also.
Yes, yes, I feel that way too. Well, we've made it this far and, you know, I don't know where we're going. I don't have a crystal ball, but I do feel that it's a very positive and loving direction.
I do, too.
And just stay the course, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, you are just a beacon of light and love to your listeners. Congratulations.
Oh, my goodness. Well, thank
yeah, it's
you, Rebecca.
Wonderful. Yeah, it's great.
You're triggering it in me. That's what it is. You. It's the synergy between us.
Yeah, it's wonderful. It's,
well,
you
listen,
know, it's what it's all about.
We've come to the end of the show, so it's time for me to thank you for being on the show and for you to tell people
you.
Where they can find you and where you're going to be.
Oh,
and how
great.
They can
I'd
find
love to
your
do
book.
That. Okay. I'm at my website is exoconsciousness.com, and or you can just Google actually my name, Rebecca Hardcastle, HARDCASTLE, Hardcastle. I'm going to be speaking at a very exciting conference here in Phoenix. It's the first Phoenix Rising as One conference, and the website is risingatone.com. Next month I'm going to be also speaking at Phoenix MUFON, and just go on my website. You'll see the other places that I'll be speaking, but I'm also teaching at International Metaphysical University. I'm teaching exoconsciousness, so, you know, please go on that website. It's intermetu.com, and there's actually a ufology program there.
Wonderful.
Yeah, so lots of exciting things.
Absolutely. Well, you definitely are a path cutter and a pioneer.
We all are.
Yes, aren't we all?
Yeah,
we're
cutting our own path right through our own
anymore.
Life right now. It's all good.
Well, thank you so much, Rebecca, for being on the show.
Thanks for having me, Lance.
And I'm sure you'll be back. We'll have you back, and we'll share some more about these experiences and opening people's minds.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right. Thanks
okay.
a million, and thanks, everybody, for
okay.
being here tonight. And, of course, Jim Gilliland is on next from East Eddy Ranch.
Oh, great. Okay,
so
thank
that
you.
Should be exciting. I think he has a real good guest tonight. So stay tuned, and good night, Rebecca. Good night,
listeners.
And thank you again.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.